Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Sean Campbell, your local alternative Solid State Radio, as we get set for Thursday night football coming up tomorrow with your Detroit Football Lions. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm getting increasingly concerned here. And I feel really for good reason on this. You're continuing to just lose defensive players like crazy. The latest injury report, I don't know if you've seen it yet. Things are not looking particularly good for a lot of guys. It's looking like, as of right now, DJ Reader didn't practice yesterday. He may or may not play. Taylor Decker missed practice for the second day in a row yesterday. Levi Onwuzurike still not practicing with a hamstring injury. And Josh Pascal still not practicing either. And the news isn't looking particularly good. Dan Campbell basically told you Tuesday Decker's likely not going to play, saying, quote, "I don't feel as good about Decker for this week." So it seems like what's likely to happen there is you're going to keep Penei Sewell at right tackle and roll with Dan Skipper at left in place of Decker, ultimately. As far as Pascal and Onwuzurike, Campbell seems to also think that it's not likely that they're going to play Thursday, as far as we know. Haven't heard anything different on that yet. They may need some time off to recover. And then DJ Reader is day-to-day at present. The good news is at least Carlton Davis was upgraded to full practice yesterday. So barring anything else, it looks like he should at least play on Thursday. But you got to be concerned right now if you're a Lions fan, right? I mean, I know somehow they've continued to throw the next man up thing here a lot, really. Like, that's just been kind of the way this thing has gone. Like, Hutch gets injured. Pascal gets injured. Davenport goes out for the season. Derek Barnes goes down. And it's kind of the philosophy here is just kind of this next man up thing. And thus far, they've managed to make it work. But when you keep losing more and more key pieces and backups to the guys who are already on the injured reserve, it gets you a little bit concerned. I know it does for me anyway. I feel like your O-line's going to be fine. I mean, Dan Skipper, not exactly the ideal replacement, certainly, on your O-line, but he will do an entirely competent job, at least in Decker's absence, you feel. But with your D-line losing so many people, I mean, to where you went and signed Jamal Adams over the weekend, who, at last check, is a safety, not a defensive lineman, but they're apparently going to play him at defensive lineman because you're just running out of options. And it seems like there's a very good chance he's going to end up seeing some playing time on your D-line Thursday night against the Packers. Like, just looking at, there's a good chance that not only is he going to play, that you're probably going to end up playing Quan Alexander, who you just signed over the weekend from the Broncos. Miles Adams, who I completely forgot that you signed off the Seahawks practice squad, and Jonah Williams, who you signed from the Rams. There may be a good chance that all four of these guys find themselves having to play with less than a week to prepare tomorrow night against Green Bay. I tell you right now, you've got five games left in the season, and if you manage to go 2-1 in these next three, I'd be entirely happy with that. I'd be thrilled by that at this point, because I'm just not convinced that you're going to win all three. Obviously, Green Bay tomorrow. Buffalo the week after that, although at least in that case, you get a couple extra days of rest before that one. Then you go to Chicago to play the Bears again, and remember, this is a team that you barely beat last time around thanks to some idiocy from their now former head coach, and then you got to go to San Fran after that, although as banged up as they are right now, they're now down. Christian McCaffrey's done, so is Jordan Mason from the looks of it. So they're losing guys at a pretty alarming rate over there, too, as they currently sit, what, two games under 500 now? you start to feel a little bit better about that Monday Night Football matchup, but these next three, I have to admit, get a little concerned. Getting a little worried. Just ever so slightly here.
They've been winning, but like you touched on, that Chicago Bears game on Thanksgiving, that wasn't a gimme.
The farthest thing from.
No, and then, you know, who they play the previous week. It was a lot of sloppy play. I hadn't seen it. I think I saw the very tail end of the game.
I'm trying the Colts?
The Colts, yeah. It's, I mean, another win, but there was a lot of miscues.
Which is crazy when you're talking about a game that they won 24-6.
Right.
Like, you can afford to make those miscues against the Colts. You can't afford to do that against, and you, well, we saw it against Chicago. You can't do that against Green Bay. They will make you pay for it.
Yes.
And I am at least somewhat concerned here at this point that they are going to make them pay for it.
Green Bay and you touched on them. I'm not worried about the Bears. I think they'll handle the Bears.
It's Green Bay and Buffalo that really concern me.
Green Bay and Buffalo. Yeah, those are the two. San Fran, you touched on that. I think that's surmountable. But
which I can't believe we're saying that, considering that San Fran's been the team to beat in the NFC the last few years.
Are they at home against Buffalo, or do they have to go to Buffalo, New York?
They are at Ford Field.
Okay. All right, so they don't need to bring shovels.
Correct.
Gotcha.
So that'll be nice. They have that going for them, which is nice.
Crash through a flaming table for us.
Please do. It is happy hour. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Beasties at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. And I know Adam does not want to do this. I know there's probably nothing right now that he would rather skip over than this segment. But as a quote-unquote sports show sometimes, we do have to talk about a certain local Detroit team that plays in a certain national league that plays hockey. I'm sorry, Adam. As they say in hockey, we have to do that hockey.
Yeah, they lost in overtime to the Boston Bruins. That was a heartbreaker.
And it was.
I mean, there was a lot of people saying that there should have been a penalty called. DeBrincat was hauled down. But then it showed. So a lot of people were screaming foul. But it turned out that he had a hold of somebody's stick. But anyway, there should have been a. I would have thought there was going to be a penalty, and
there was not.
There was not. So, I mean, let me see.
Quite a day for Lucas Raymond, though.
Yeah, two goals from him. You had one from Marco Casper, but that got called back, unfortunately.
I admittedly didn't see that one. Good call or no?
Oh yeah, it was offsides. Yeah, Lucas Raymond with two. And then, yeah, that was all they got out of the win.
Yeah, that was it.
I thought it was 4-3, but no, 3-2. Pavel Zacha with the overtime winner.
You made that name up.
Yeah, I might not be pronouncing it right. I don't know.
No, I think you're pronouncing it right. I'm just saying you made that player up.
Husso finished the night with a .914 goal against average, 32 saves. On the night.
Not a terrible evening for him.
No. You got assists for Michael Rasmussen. Good for him. But, yeah, it's... The Boston Bruins are not exactly the type, the team that, you know, we knew they were going to go in for a loss. I mean, they're kind of in free fall. They just got rid of their coach. They're missing some key parts. So they should have... Well, they hung with them, I guess.
Yeah, they did take it overtime.
I can't be the only one that was thinking, boy, it'd be kind of nice if, you know, maybe Husso has a bad night or something happens and you bring in Sebastian Kosa. And maybe the start of the Sebastian Kosa show could commence.
You know, I would much prefer, quite frankly, to have Kosa get a fresh start on night. Yeah, let's make his first NHL action night in which the starting goalie gets bombed.
Yeah.
Great. That'll be wonderful for his confidence,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I want to see him. I mean, I saw him when the Wings had posted a video of their morning skate, and there's Sebastian Kosa just head and shoulders above everybody, looking like Darth Vader over
the coaches
and all the other players. I mean, this kid is huge.
Yes, he is.
I mean, was 6'8". They're making those goalies big these days. I don't know where NHL teams are finding these goalies, but
they've been making them big huge. Since Ben Bishop, man. Like yeah. that's nothing new.
Yeah, Ben Bishop, he's at least 6'6".
More like 6'8", 6'9".
Something
like that. They've been making them that big for a while, man.
Yeah, I mean, bring me the old days of, what was it, like Grant Fuhr, where he's like 5'1". I know Mike Vernon was only like 5'8", or something like that.
But yeah, that ain't the case anymore, man.
No, they're huge. They're absolutely huge. But, I mean, you got yourselves into – the Wings have got themselves into penalty trouble. I mean, Sherratt was in the box a couple times. Jeff Petrie with a holding penalty in the first period. Good for him. Ben Sherratt again, interference in the third period. Eric Gustafson, a costly one, tripping at 15-15 in the third period. Just another situation where they couldn't get shots on goal. At one point, they didn't have a shot on goal halfway through the second period. They'd only had like six shots on goal, and those were all in the first period.
Not to be all shoot the puck guy, but that does seem to keep being a recurring theme here.
Yeah, very rarely do you score without shooting the puck, and that's usually the other team put it into their own net.
Right. I mean, I'm saying we've noticed this with the Wings a lot in recent history, though.
Yes.
Like, I think it was, what was the game last Monday or Tuesday, where they didn't register a single shot until like 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah, that's coaching. That coaches have to preach a quick start. You have to start on time. And that sounds like a cliche, but as we're seeing, it isn't a cliche. It's something they have to work on. They're taking it. They're trying to go that boxer route. I get the feeling that they're trying to tire the other team out. They just don't have that kind of talent. They don't have that kind of they can't do that themselves. They tire themselves out.
No, like that's not a skill set that this current Red Wings squad really doesn't. You know, you hate to say it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to have the ability to do.
They'll get there, but they need motivation.
Do that because you just don't have the confidence to take on that task.
It's been a while since we heard that one. All right. The old Mitch Gill GPS. But yeah, Newsy, he needs to be in the players' ears. And I don't see that happening. Maybe there's something going on in the locker room that we don't see, but he doesn't seem to be phased at all. He's just got this kind of grin on his face. He's losing, winning. His players are getting run over by the other team. He's just got the smile on his face.
It doesn't seem to be setting in with him.
No.
The gravity of what is happening here. And that's...
they're calling for his head. A lot of people are calling for Stevie Y's head. And that's just...
Well, they should be.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sold on getting rid of Yzerman yet, but Newsy, obviously, he got to go. Because, I mean, this team does have a lot of talent. I mean, Lucas Raymond showed that tonight. I mean, and you've got, Marco Kasper, he had his goal called back, but he still has two or three goals on the season. He's doing quite well for being a youngster.
Yeah, well, that's the problem when you're, you know, counting on the youth because you needed to because you had no ability to sign free agents this
year. Yeah. Well, probably could, but...
Well,
the purse strings were a little tight.
It's not even the purse strings, though. I mean, okay, in that, how you're going to unload, you know, Justin Hall or whoever else you have to unload, because, like, you don't, we talked about it. Like, realistically, the cap space you have wasn't that much.
No.
Like that's, it's not even a, like, I know we talk about how cheap ownership is in this town at present, and it is. Trust me, I wholeheartedly agree that it is. But the problem is not necessarily, it's also the issue that you don't have a lot of cap space because, well, remember, you had to allocate a bunch of money to your two kind of franchise guys in Raymond and Sider.
Yes.
So when you're looking at it right now, yeah, you have the ninth most cap space in the league, but that's only 2.3 mil. Unlike baseball and really unlike football, the salary cap is real in the NHL.
Yeah.
That is a hard cap. Like, every other sport seems to have some sort of exemption of some sort, or it's just a luxury tax, or it's just, oh, well, we're going to go over, and there's not any real-world consequences. We can just rework contracts and things.
Right.
The NHL doesn't work that way.
No, you can't take the ice if you're not cap compliant.
Yeah, there's There's more real world consequences for the salary cap in this league than there are in the others.
Yes.
So I mean, yeah, there is kind of a problem there. Like you have how are you getting out of that? And it's not like the others where you can just okay, we can buy out a guy, and all of a sudden, boom, that's no longer a thing we have to worry about. Like that cap hit still stays with you.
Oh yeah. So I don't know. It's going to be a tough going, but Sebastian Coase is coming. We just got to hang our hat on that.
Yeah, that's we at least have that. But unless Coase can score some goals, I don't think it's going to matter.
No.
Here's the Head and Heart, Solid State Radio. Want to do some judging, Adam?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. This one's a little... it's basically Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice. You know, we're real people with real problems and real questions to, I guess in this case, Reddit. And then we find the stuff and we intercept and we give better advice than a bunch of morons on the internet, I guess.
Let's do it.
Something like that. So I, 31-year-old female, think my boyfriend, 32-year-old male, has never really forgiven me for my cheating years ago. What do I do? About 3 years ago, I cheated on my boyfriend. The guy I cheated with, John, wanted me to break up with James, but the affair was entirely based on lust. Looking back, I think it was also because I was incredibly insecure, and John's intense pursuit of me provided the attention I needed at the time to feel better about myself. When I rejected him and told him we should stop seeing each other, he threatened to out me to my boyfriend. So I confessed to James in case John made good on his threat. As far as I know, John never actually contacted James, and the day I rejected him was the last time that I ever saw or spoke to him. I've also blocked his number. James and I had already been together for a year, and although you may not believe me, I was deeply in love with him. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. At first, he decided to break up with me, but we stayed friends. And after about 3 months, we realized we missed each other and got back together. Since then, I've been in therapy to deal with the inner demons that led me to cheat on James in the first place.
Oh,
we'll talk about that later. Oh, our relationship has been wonderful since then, and I think we've both worked hard to become better partners for each other, and we even moved in together 4 months ago. However, last week, James hosted his best friend, Luke, at our home. I was working on my laptop at the time, but I could hear them chatting in the living room. I admit I eavesdropped and heard that Luke was confiding in James about his boyfriend cheating on him. What really surprised me is that James advised Luke not to take back his boyfriend because it wouldn't be worth it and that cheating damages a relationship permanently. It's never the same. James also told Luke that because of his experience, he no longer believes in the romantic idea of the one. I stayed silent. When I left the study later that evening, I never brought it up, basically pretending that I hadn't heard anything. I went to confront James about what he said, but I really don't know how or if I even should. Does this mean he's never forgiven me? Why did he take me back, and why is he still with me if he doesn't think it's worthwhile?
Well, first of all, you got to get rid of the notion that he's done anything wrong. I mean, if anything, he took you back. That's something right there. And the fact that you're going through therapy and it sounds like you're digging for a reason why you cheated.
Right? Yeah. You remember that bit about I need therapy for my inner demons or whatever. It sounds like a lot of not wanting to take responsibility for your actions.
Yes.
And I'm not here for it.
No. So you got a guy, you cheated on a guy and he took you back, but now you're hurt that your cheating caused him to get rid of the notion of the one, quote unquote. Your cheating caused him to, you hurt him. You hurt him bad, and now you're hurt that he's hurt. Well, it's not his fault.
Right. Maybe you should have thought of that before you went and shtup some other guy.
Yeah. Now, if the question is, should you approach him? Go ahead, but do it in a way that understand that you may not like the answer. You're not going to change him.
Yeah, you're not.
You already did change him for the worse.
Yeah, you're not going to get the answer that you want to here. Like, if anything, I would just prepare to have my heart broken or prepare to start packing your bags real quick. Like,
yeah. I mean, if you want an answer, but I mean, don't go at him. What do you mean? There's not the one. Don't you think I'm the one? He's not the villain here.
I feel like he at this point feels like he's stuck. Like, that's why he's still with you, is because he feels like he's stuck with you now. Like, he committed to this, and he regrets it. He regrets the fact that he ever got back with you.
Well, then I guess that is on him. He did take her back after cheating a lot, and he probably had a lot of friends going, "And that was stupid. Don't do it. Don't do that."
And that was stupid on his part, and I will grant them that.
I mean, they moved in together after this. That's no es bueno. And but I mean, they're still not married. He can still get out of this. So he is in this relationship voluntarily. There are no kids involved. There's not a marriage. You are with her voluntarily and probably against everybody's advice. So, I mean, I don't know. He's not the bad guy, but he's got to realize that he holds all of the cards here. And she needs to decide for herself, is she going to bring up what she overheard?
Yeah.
But she has to come to terms with the fact that he's not wrong for how he feels. She should feel wronged for how he feels because that she did it to him.
Yeah. Like, you don't have any room whatsoever to blame anybody else, him or your demons or whatever. Like, you don't have any reason to be offended by the fact that he's not over this, and I don't blame him for not being over it, quite frankly. I don't know why he took you back, because he has every right to feel like, yeah, the one doesn't exist because they're just going to step all over you anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
the guy's over there. Yeah, my boyfriend cheated on me. He's just complete emo. Yeah. The world, the word love is a trap. It sucks the life out of you. The heart is meaningless.
Right. There's banging themselves out of Hole Smith's album over there from the sounds of it.
The heart was made to be broken. You need to get rid of this guy who cheated on you. I should have done that with the shrew that's in the next room. Oh, I'm sure is listening. He probably knew she was listening the whole time.
He had to know.
Yeah, you got cheated on? Well, here's what you should do. Ditch that zero. Get yourself a hero.
Damn straight. And then take your own advice.
Yeah, do what I do. Take him back. And then when he's not looking, cut the brakes on his car. I know you're listening, bitch.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I love that. It. I just, everything about this, like, you can't possibly bring this up to him. Like, there's no way that you, if you want the relationship to continue, if you'd like to continue living in your lie that you created by being a lying, cheating whore, then you probably shouldn't ever bring this up to him that you heard that conversation, and then you can continue living in your fantasy until he wises up and officially dumps your ass.
Yep.
But otherwise, if you bring it up to him, just know that you're doing it with the likely outcome being that he is in fact going to leave you.
Yes. Yeah. It's you're just. I don't think she should bring it up to him at all, because I mean, what's best case scenario?
Right. What's the best case scenario that he tells you your entire relationship is a lie?
Yeah, I heard what you said, that there isn't a one. And yeah. So, what do you want me to? Why don't you go to John, whatever his name was? I know you didn't block his phone number. Cheater.
Good Lord.
Yeah. You know, he just brings that up.
Just throws it back in her face.
Hi, James. You know, the trash hasn't been taken out in a long time. Oh, you're going to step out on me to go with some other guy, but you can't step out to take out the trash?
Why don't you call John and have him take out the garbage?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't like the way I did the dishes? Well, why don't you have John come do the dishes? I know he did your dish.
Okay.
What? He doesn't have to do anything anymore. When are you going to let this go? I don't know. until I get tired of it.
Which maybe never at this point.
He just needs to cheat on her.
No, I feel like that's not, no. Don't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. He just needs to, or just give her the idea that he's cheating on her.
See how you feel when when I come home having been screwing around with somebody else.
Yeah.
No, don't
two
do
wrongs
not.
Don't two wrongs don't make a right, but yeah.
Apparently in Adam's world, they might.
No.
Hope this helped.
We've all dreamt about going on a cruise at some point. Some people it's a dream, some of it's people it's a nightmare. And Carnival Cruise Line, they're making sure that some people don't have as much fun as they really want to. Carnival Cruise has made it unlawful. Not unlawful, but...
Unlawful?
Unlawful.
I didn't realize that Carnival Cruise Lines had that kind of legal standing.
Well, every cruise ship... Fun story. Every cruise ship has a brig on there like to jail you and a morgue in case somebody croaks on the way there. And since a lot of the people on cruise lines are elderly, it's probably just as popular as the bar.
I mean, that's fair, but also like I don't think the cruise ships are their own like sovereign nation or anything. Like we have our own laws that we enforce here, and
we're in international waters. I can do whatever I want, right? No,
that's totally how that works. No. That's the impression I was under.
Carnival Cruise Line, they're removing all upside down pineapples from outside people's staterooms.
Good for them.
People decorate the stateroom doors however they want. But one decoration will be removed as upside-down pineapples. Now, Sean, do you know what an upside-down pineapple means?
Why, yes, I do.
It means that the door's unlocked and they're ready for company.
So you mean we're no longer going to have to deal with the creepy older couple sitting at the bar trying to convince every, you know, particularly young, attractive guy or girl to come back with them to their place to party more afterwards? Great. I'm here for it.
Oh, no. That just means... They won't have the pineapple to signify anything. Now they're actually going to be out there more on the hunt. You're going to have more people out there. Because before, you know, you'd have like a upside down pineapple. It's like, oh, here we go, Martha. Here's somebody who's ready to party. And then, you know, open up the door and that's fine. The communication has already been set. But now you've got more people at the bar going, wow, you look just like our son. Hey, would you like to come back to our stateroom with us?
Yeah, and the answer should always be absolutely not.
No.
Mm-mm.
and the USS Shag-a-Lot, we will not allow any upside-down pineapples.
Right. I feel like the people who do the swinging thing are never the kind of people that you would want to swing with, even if you were into that sort of thing.
No, not from what I've seen.
They never are particularly good-looking people, is what I'm getting at. Yeah, probably put swingers on the apology list now.
Oh, yeah. We're swingers. What, from a vine?
Oh, come on. Those people don't have the strength to do that. Who are we kidding? Good God.
Oh, yeah. But apparently, I mean, this has made national news, so apparently it's become a problem. Where, like, at night, just people going in and out of every state. My thought is, who cares? I mean, you didn't think that stuff was going on? You think that stuff, that's malarkey? That,
malarkey, huh?
That sinful business is not going to go on because, you got rid of the pineapples?
God, yeah, it's only going to get worse, and they're only going to start harassing the rest of us that just want to... Enjoy our cruise. I mean, I say us. I have no interest in doing the cruise thing.
Yeah, listen.
That sounds terrible.
Listen, Martha, Bert from Wisconsin. Hey, it's great meeting you and all, but I just want to watch this Bee Gees tribute act. And if you could, tell Martha to get her hands out of the back of my pants, that'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. Look, we're just trying to enjoy our Creed cruise here, and that's a thing now. Apparently.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All the bands.
They're just cruises for every stupid thing you could possibly ever want things that nobody asked for.
Yep. There's like a whole yacht rock cruise, which, a yacht.
I mean, it stands to reason. Like, does that not make like perfect sense? Like, you'd think Christopher Cross would have figured that out and just exclusively been playing cruises for the last 30 years.
Yeah. Oh, this song sucks. Yeah, well, you're on a boat. What are you going to do?
You're right. You have a captive audience.
Man overboard.
You don't have to go around, from town to town, traveling and doing a bunch of, flying and, bringing your, I assume, expansive pyrotechnic show. Like,
because I imagine. Titanic 2, come to find out, Great White was playing the ship. Near, far. Oh, God, my hairspray's in the water now. Oh, leather pants were not meant to be wet. Apologies to Great White, I guess.
I suppose so.
Jesus. Oh, man, I feel so bad about that.
No, you don't.
No, not really. I mean, I do, but I don't. But it's,
you don't. Don't even act like you do.
I went on a day cruise. We rented a car in Florida, me and a girl I was dating at the time. We went down to Zephyr Hills, Florida, to visit her grandparents, and we rented a car. And with that came a day cruise that left out of Fort Lauderdale. And, Tampa. And we took this cruise, and I swear, this tiny little boat, I mean, it still had a casino in there, didn't win one dime out of that casino.
Of course you did.
And they had bars and everything else, but it was a terrible experience. The water must have been, like, too choppy, because, I mean, people were just getting seasick. I'm thinking, are we going to have to row? When is it my turn to row this thing? I was not a big fan. I don't know if I'd want to go on a cruise. Some people are like, would you like to go on the KISS cruise? And yeah, maybe, but...
You would go on the KISS cruise, I feel.
Maybe, but anything. The Creed cruise? No, because... No. Lord knows I wouldn't want to be in my stateroom here and knock on the door and Scott Stapp over there with a Bible. Hi, I'd like to talk to you about our Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, is that an upside-down pineapple? Can I take you here?
I'd like to talk to you about cocaine hookers.
And if there's time, Jesus.
Maybe some Jesus in there later. I don't know.
Is Tremonti around here? Oh, he's singing. He's in the karaoke bar singing Sinatra tunes. There's nothing we can do about that. We just let him go.
just let him do it.
Where's Three Doors Down? Oh, this they're with their tinfoil hats on, preaching the gospel of Donald Trump.
Is that a thing now?
Oh yeah.
Oh good Lord.
Yeah.
Ah, fun. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like the worst cruise in the history of ever. I don't know. I've never had the interest in, like, I'm fine going out on a boat or whatever, like, just on a lake or some such thing, just getting drunk and partying and whatnot. But I don't really have the interest to spend, a week at a time on a boat. I mean, I'm not a huge, like, here we're going to take this cruise, like, out to some, like, whatever resort or some nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not that the resort and cruise and lay on the beach and suntan kind of guy.
I'm not a beach guy.
I know, this is shocking to you, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Sean be laying on a beach like, oh, he's been out here for a while. He must have rolled in from shore. He must have fell off. Oh, no, he's alive. Oh, wow. Okay.
Quit pushing back into the ocean.
Don't touch him. He's bloated. He's going to explode. No.
And that just ends badly for everybody.
I don't think I'd be into cruises. I'm definitely not a beach guy. And you go to these ports, you know, Port-au-Prince and all these places, and they tell you on the boat, okay, don't get any taxi cabs, don't drink the water, don't do that, don't look anybody in the eye, don't look like you got money. I was like,
don't interact with anyone who actually lives here at any time ever.
And by all means, have fun. We're leaving at 5 o'clock. If you're not here at 5 o'clock, we're gone.
If you have fun, but just don't leave the resort for any reason.
Yeah, you'd be just running. 501. See ya. Deuces.
Guess you're stuck here now, bitches. Yeah. Have fun.
They just threw our stuff off the bow. I don't even know what part of the ship is the bow. I know there's a stern and a bow. That's it.
Adam's boat knowledge is not exactly the strongest.
No, I'm in the middle of Michigan. Do you think I know nautical terms? I know there's.
We're surrounded by lakes, you idiots. I don't understand.
Hey, yeah, I've been on a pontoon. Where's the bow? I don't know. Is it that one? No, idiot. I know there's port, stern,
starboard,
port, starboard, stern, bow. Yeah, and upside down pineapple.
Maybe on your pontoon, man. Not mine. No, sir.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy a. I'm just going to buy a bunch of pineapples, and the first of every month, I'm just going to put an upside-down pineapple outside your house.
For the love of God, no. No, because I don't need a creepy old couple showing up at my doorstep.
Yeah, I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'm going to put it on one of the happening pages.
Oh, sweet Jesus, no. I will ruin your life if you do that, good sir. Don't ask me how. I have my ways.
It's pretty funny. I wonder if we'd be able to get away with doing that to James' house.
Are you kidding me? He'd have us all killed. He's government. He's making that government money.
Yeah, he's like, what is that? An upside down pineapple? I thought we settled this on Carnival cruises.
No, the love pad only swings one way, thank you very much. And that rule is Jim's the only man allowed. He's the only dude allowed.
I'm the only rooster in this hen house.
Oh, guess we better apologize.
That's a Jim, yeah.
Yeah, I really should. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. So weddings are kind of a common topic on this radio show. I mean, it has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, multiple members of both the Solid State air staff and this program have gotten hitched over, like, the last year or so.
Yeah, yeah. So we both know the ins and outs of planning a wedding. I've been around a lot of weddings. It was my second wedding. And then, you know, be involved in either a best man or a DJ capacity. I've been around a few nuptials.
Being best man, being a DJ, being the hype man. Like, yo, you've done it all.
I've done it all. Everything but the bride. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Poor Adam.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not true. You've done at least two brides, presumably.
Yeah, I did them good, too. Sorry.
Apologize to Dorothy now. We probably should.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, really, she should just be on this list every week, just as a general rule.
Dorothy and Rachel just need to be permanently on there.
Right. I haven't really offended Rachel yet, I don't think, this week.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of time. We still got, you know, two more days of show.
Yeah,
but apparently, the destination wedding is becoming a thing.
Oh, what a pain in
the random destination wedding at that.
Random. So like, we're going to Poughkeepsie. Come on, guys. Let's go.
No, it's stupider than that. Like there was an article that kind of gives an example that this couple in Canada who announced to their friends that they were engaged, and they're thinking of having their wedding next summer in Spain because we found a beautiful villa in Barcelona. We're going to go. We're going to have a great time with a small group of people. It's cheaper than having a wedding in Canada. But the wedding's going to fall, as it turns out. Well, now you've agreed to this. It's on a holiday weekend, so at least enough tickets of $850 each for just a fly.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the villa in Barcelona is actually an hour outside the city. And you're going to have to pay for your share of this thing, at least a grand for 3 days.
Wow. Talking about the guests?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Instead of gifts, they were hoping that you'll contribute to the honeymoon fund.
If I'm dropping $2,000 just to get there and to stay there, yeah, you're not getting anything.
Also, apparently, they're being asked to attend the civil ceremony with the bride's family in Asia.
Civil ceremony.
All of this. Like, this is...
Wow.
Like, this is just dumb. Like, the idea, like, we're going to have a destination wedding on the other side of the world in some country that we have no particular ties to or that nothing about this makes any particular... Like, there's not really a connection between us and this country.
Yeah.
And going to expect our guests to foot the bill. Like, apparently this is really becoming a thing.
Maybe this is a group of people who, you know, maybe they're... The professionals, maybe they can afford that kind of stuff, but even if you can afford it, that is a lot to ask. Just even if everything's paid for and you don't have to pay a dime, getting on a plane, flying halfway across the world for that is, it's just, I don't know, it can be really stressful for people who don't like to travel. I'm okay with traveling, but something like that would be frustrating to me.
Yeah, that doesn't sound exactly like my idea of a good time. Like, why this is becoming such a huge thing, I have no idea. And it really is, like, apparently going really, like, massive. Like, I guess since COVID, the destination wedding thing has become more popular. In fact, people spent more than $28 billion on destination weddings in 2023, up $7 billion from the year before. And the industry could top $100 billion by 2028.
There is a lot of money in weddings. And the fact that...
Stupid money.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that marriages don't last, and those people get married to somebody else, and then, you know, you get married three or four times. That's a lot of weddings. And now, you know, now it's allowed for homosexuals to get married. Now those weddings are fantastic.
Oh, my God. So,
I mean, there's a lot of money in there. I need to get back into DJing weddings.
You really do. You could make a killing doing this.
Yes.
I could totally see you... See that being a thing. Like, you could probably retire from... You could actually make good on your threat that you posted on Facebook the other day to retire from your day job.
Oh, yeah. For those people who aren't Facebookies with me, I posted that I was going to retire in the spring. Dorothy was going to work a second job to make ends meet, and I said I couldn't wait to tell her. Everybody was just like, yeah, good luck with that. When's your funeral?
Right? How many knives were already waiting in the door for you when you walked in?
I was downstairs and she was upstairs when I posted that. And a couple minutes later, I hear, I can't say what she said, but it was WTF.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm dead, man.
I did see she commented. Yeah, I'm amazed that you actually made it here today after posting that.
Well, I'm on the lam. Nobody knows I'm here.
Yeah, no one knows that you're sitting currently in my garage.
Oh, thanks. Wait,
was I supposed to say that? Oh, crap. Sorry, Adam.
Fredo, you broke my heart. So, I mean, the destination wedding, yeah, people are going all out for weddings when it's kind of silly because you don't want – I don't want to bring it up. Nobody wants to bring it up, but marriages typically don't last. I mean, you really want to splurge that much only to be like divorced in 5 years?
I'm not even thinking from that regard. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, Rachel could wise up and leave me any day now, Lord knows. But my thing with that is like, why do you really want to start your life together in massive amounts of debt?
Right.
Like that doesn't seem like a good foundation for your future going forward. Here, let's just take on a massive just pile of debt that we're not going to be able to pay off for like 10 years.
Well, the thing is, a lot of these people, they have their moms and dads foot in the bill. That has been an ongoing tradition for years and years and years.
I mean, look,
decades, centuries.
Our parents definitely helped quite a bit in setting up things. Like,
yep.
You know, her folks paid for the wedding venue. My mom catered, like, they got all the food catered and things. Like, there was a good chunk of that. But we still weren't talking anything near as extravagant as this.
Right. No, it is over the top. I heard a wonderful story years ago. Do you remember Manny Legacy, the goaltender for the Detroit Red Wings?
Why, yes, Adam, I do.
I love the story. It was on Halloween. They had a Halloween party, and they got all their friends together, and he was dressed as a groom, and she was dressed as a bride, and boom, surprise wedding. No planning, no fuss, no muss. They just got married right there and got hammered.
I love it. That's actually great.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks for anyone who would have otherwise been invited and didn't know that there was a wedding happening and missed out on that. But
yeah,
I do. I love that idea.
Yeah.
But apparently the big thing seems to be couples are focused on offering their guests an experience rather than simply a party. I actually hear a couple say sometimes they want, quote, great content. Not even wedding photos, but content, which is so interesting because it truly is a full production rather than a wedding.
Yes.
Now, that part of it, of course, it's the social media influencer age. Like,
uh-huh.
I want this to go viral, which I think is incredibly stupid.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
I can sympathize, though, with the idea of wanting, you know, to give their guests an experience in that sort. I mean, yeah, it was our thing was a party, but it was totally, you know, it was dinner and a show, man.
Yes.
Like, we were putting on a performance. And everyone came away from saying it was the most fun wedding they'd ever been to.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was the goal. Like, you can still make it an experience and, you know, have it be a time that everyone will remember forever for good reasons.
Yeah, without going halfway across the world.
Exactly.
But when you go halfway across the world and you have everything, so many moving parts, you're stressed out. You're not in. We had my first wedding. We had an outdoor wedding, which I told myself, living in Michigan, never have an outdoor wedding.
No.
Ever. And here I was, because she wanted an outdoor wedding. She wanted a Hawaiian style wedding, which is no fuss, no muss. You know, guys all wore Hawaiian shirts. It was great. But the night before was a tornado.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So here it's a lot of. You put too much into the wedding. More you put in, there's more moving parts, the more things that you have to stress out about.
More things that can go wrong.
Yeah. I mean, really, especially you're way over in Italy, you know, and, you know, anything could happen. You're thousands of miles away from your house.
No one there speaks the language.
No one speaks the language. And, you know, so, I mean, it's way too much stress. And even looking at the pictures, like, oh, isn't that a great picture? Oh, yeah. That right after that, your aunt, you know, kept complaining about her blood sugar and she had to eat. Remember that? Yeah, stupid bitch. You know?
Yeah. Rarely in my experience does the outdoor wedding go particularly well. There was one I can remember that, well, our good friend Wes actually officiated that did. We just did it. And, you know, it happened in the park and it was, you know, good time was had by everybody.
Yep.
Most of us were hammered and the bride and groom's house was literally two blocks up the street. But then another family member of the wife's got married a few years back, and it was just the conditions were not great that day. It was, and it was early in the year, so it was like it's either really early in the spring or late in the fall. I can't remember, but it was kind of getting on the cold side and the wind.
So either mosquitoes or flies.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But no, it was the wind. Like it was just ridiculously wind. Like wow, this entire wedding's gonna blow away. Like that's this this seems not good.
There's just.
Yeah, the outdoor wedding is really a questionable thing at best.
I just think the happy couples need, in general, real things back. Don't spend so much money. Make it about yourself. Absolutely. It's your wedding. But don't go overboard. You can go overboard real quick.
And especially the part where you're like demanding of your guests to make like these exorbitant spend these exorbitant sums of money to make it happen. They give an example in this article about a guy who was asked to attend a wedding and found out there was going to be $5,000 of expenses to do it. When he told the couple that, they told him his choice of career is to blame. You did this to yourself. Wow. What a POS.
Wow. Yeah, now you know where you stand there, kid. Huh?
That's insane.
That is right. And see, they probably didn't even really fully mean that, but the stress of planning a wedding. Because he was probably not the first person to call and say, you know what, I just can't really stomach. But, oh, well, it's your fault, blah, blah, blah. And it's not the storybook wedding that they thought it was. Not everybody's playing the part that they saw in their minds. So they're getting frustrated. So they're snapping. And it just another reason why you just need to keep things simple.
Yes, it's really not necessary to do any of this. And then when you get in the late stages, and this is another thing that happens, you get in the late stages of something like this, and then you find yourself going broke and then have to cancel the whole thing altogether after everyone's already made their non-refundable flight accommodations and hotel bookings and whatnot.
Yeah, they just threw a group text. Hey, fam, we decided just to go ahead, and we're just going to get married
at the courthouse.
At the courthouse. We'll see y'all there.
Then you're really going to have some people pissed off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely not going to want to open up those gifts for a while.
No, I would not recommend.
Just make sure the ones that, make sure none of them are stinking or ticking.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of what you're going to run into at that point. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio.
You shouldn't do that because you just don't have the confidence to take on that task.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yep.
And we also get set to turn over our airwaves to an hour of local original
snow removal. We're going to learn how to get rid of all the snow that's going to be accumulating everywhere.
About that.
You shouldn't do that because you just don't have the confidence to take on that task.
Yeah, he's not wrong. I haven't shoveled snow since I was probably 25, and I hated it then.
You haven't?
Nope.
What do you do? Like,
I don't have much of a driveway.
You just let it pile up.
I just drive over it.
Sidewalk, too?
It's not my sidewalk.
So you somehow, for the last 25 years, you're the guy that just, you know, it's a snowy, icy mess out there. We're just going to let that just stay snow-covered forever.
Well, at my previous place, a lot of times kids would come over and, you know, I'd throw them a couple bucks. It used to be like $5-$10, so shovel the whole thing. But now it's like $20, $25, $30. I'm like, I'll just drive over it.
Now I have kids. The little bastards can do it themselves.
Oh, come on.
Like your kids would actually do manual labor.
If we're in an Oculus, there was a snow shoveling game, they'd probably do it. But actually going out there, no.
You're right. Why should I have expected such a thing?
Oh, it's the kids these days.
Oh, God. Kids, these damn kids these days with their Oculus sets and their whatever.
Xboxes and their TikToks. And
their UTOX and TikTubes. Tick stations, tick tubes.
I went unvaccinated in Nicaragua. I had to come back. I had to have two tick tubes put in my head.
Good Lord. Oh, sounds like a really fun way to spend a weekend.
Yeah.
bet the one day upside down pineapples on that cruise ship, huh?
Yeah. Apparently, I wasn't much of a shower or a grower. They called me Tick Tube.
poor Adam. Anyway, the point being to all this, that a full hour of local original music.
Yes. Michigan-made music at its best for a Whiskey Wednesday.
That's all coming your way next at a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.